It's been 1 week since 8,000 workers at Marriott Hotels walked out on strike in 8 cities across the country. Here in Hawaii, 2,700 workers are walking the picket lines outside 5 hotels managed by Marriott and owned by Kyoya. They are demanding higher wages and protections against sexual harassment and automation. There have been several labor disputes in Hawaii's hotel industry over the past 30 years. The largest strike against local hotels in recent history was in 1990, when 7,500 workers from local five, picketed 11 hotels. That strike lasted 3 weeks. Every strike is different and takes a toll on both sides. And since Local 5 is back on the picket line again, we wanted to find out what happens behind the scenes during a strike and what makes this one different. Here's HPR's Ryan Finnerty.
Go on the wind!
Local 5!
Who's on the street?
Local 5!
Who's in a fight?
Local 5!
Who's going to win?
Local 5!
Who's on the street?
Members of Unite Here Local 5 have been striking for a week, but they were working without a contract since July. That's not unusual in the often extended process of labor negotiations. Ken Kawamoto is the Director of Negotiation Services for the Hawaii Employers Council.
A strike occurs after several meetings between the employer and the union. In most cases, both sides come with their laundry list of things that they would like to change in their agreement. As each meeting goes by, they either agree to certain things or withdraw certain demands. At some point, either they reach an agreement or they do not. And when they do not, then the core issues for the negotiations at that point emerges. And they cannot, then basically that's when you have situations like with the hotel workers now.
Once a strike is called, the situation shifts for both sides.
For the employer side, at least, the first few days is just trying to figure out how to keep operations going. From the union side, they are basically just trying to organize their strike lines. There will probably be, at some point in time, some internal caucuses to decide, okay, should we get back to the table or should we seek outside assistance, maybe even mediation assistance? That's always an option. It's voluntary. It's a third-party mediator, and the mediator is an employee of the federal government. So we have a local mediator here that would have jurisdiction to handle a situation like that is going on now.
According to Kawamoto, the longer a strike lasts, the more painful it is for both sides.
Both sides would like to minimize because the employer is losing revenue and causing havoc with operations, and the union members aren't getting paid either. They may be collecting some strike fund money, but it's probably still a lot less than what they normally would be collecting. If there's a mediator involved, the mediator would gather the parties and, first of all, find out what exactly are the issues that are separating the parties. So you try to put a fence around the issues that need to be settled to reach an agreement and get people back to work. From there, it depends on the mediator. Individual style. Some mediators will keep the parties at the table as long as possible to keep discussions going and facilitate a discussion. Other mediators will keep the parties separated and do shadow diplomacy back and forth between the parties to try to find middle ground. In my experience, it's effective if it brings about a quick reaction from the employer to come back to the table and make some moves. From my experience, the longer a strike goes on, it becomes a battle of endurance. Employers normally have deeper pockets to last economically versus individual employees. Individual employees, their level of tolerance for not getting paid varies based on their own financial situation.
Each strike has its own characteristics, which sometimes vary by industry. Keith Vieira is a hospitality consultant with Honolulu-based KV and Associates.
I've never seen a hotel that I've ever been involved or around that's closed during a strike. You put all your management team to work. It's very hectic and very difficult the first couple of days because you're trying to find out what staffing levels you do have, what restaurants, you know, usually a restaurant will go to a buffet or something along that line to make it easier. You're looking at what are the other necessary functions you have to do. The longer it goes, the more and more interest you have from people who aren't working or maybe people who do want to work, even if they're part of the union and kind of located in certain positions. You have people from neighbor islands. You have people from your sister neighbor island hotels that are coming over to help. So over time, it gets, I'm going to say, not necessarily easier, but it gets easier to know what your staffing is and what you can accomplish.
Vieira says that a quick resolution is in the best interest of both sides, but in the hotel industry, management has an advantage as the strike wears on.
Time hurts everyone because generally you're going to get very few new bookings for your hotel. So from a management or ownership situation, you really are affecting future revenue. So that's a lose. The employees, even though they'll get strike pay from the union, you know, you don't get your tips, you don't get a lot of things, income that's there. And it's more difficult wear and tear on the hotel. But people get more used to it, and I think over time management adjusts better to what they have to do and how many workers they have coming in. So I've never seen anybody be favored by it, just that management gets better at it as time goes on. I think it tends to work out equally good or equally painful, whatever your description wants to be of it, for both sides, but it usually does work out. Now, I've not been involved in a strike that went longer than 20 to 30 days. If it went longer than that, that does change the dynamics.
One of the issues in the current strike is the looming threat of job automation. Vieira thinks that threat may be overstated for hotels in Hawaii.
I think it's something that just sounds like a rallying cry. I don't know how you automate cleaning a room. I don't know how you automate carrying bags to the room. I don't know how you automate in a restaurant. I mean, you know, you can certainly on your servers and having iPads, but that just tends to make you more efficient. Check-in, there are places you go now where you don't have to even check in. Your room key is your credit card, et cetera. But in Hawaii, because it's a leisure destination, so the guest contact and getting aloha spirit from a, you get off a 10-hour flight and you go to the hotel and somebody welcomes you nicely and, you know, arranges for a cup of tea in your room, that's an integral part of our vacation experience. So I'm surprised to see automation be a big issue, you know, revenue management, maybe in some of the reservation areas. But at the end of the day, I mean, what has really changed in the hotel business in the last 2,000 years since the manger is, you know, you provide more services. You have beach boys, you have pool attendants, you have game room attendants, you have, you know, more and more areas, you have lounges and more bars, et cetera. So I think labor as a percentage is actually increased in the hotel business. I don't see how automation has any major impact.
And that was the Conversations Ryan Finnerty talking with Ken Kawamoto and Keith Vieira. Today marks day 8 of the Unite Here Marriott Workers Strike. As of this morning, no talks have been scheduled to try and negotiate an end to the strike. Paolo Rodelis, a community organizer with Local 5, told the Conversation that as of news time, it has not heard back from either Marriott or Kilia.